with Steve Shoemaker is next.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Welcome to Keeping the Faith. Our guest this afternoon is, by telephone, Father Tim Holder, also known as Papa T. We're talking about a hip-hop prayer book, a hip-hop e-mass created by Father Holder. Now, we're having a little difficulty getting him by phone, but our engineer is continuing to try. And while we do that, let me read a little bit from some of the hip-hop prayer book that Father Holder and about 100 different rappers, hip-hop artists from the South Bronx and elsewhere have come up with. This has been published just this spring. I have a early edited proof edition. Let me read a little bit of Psalm 23. There are two versions in the hip-hop vernacular. The Lord is my shepherd. There's no better protector. I lean back in the green grass, walk by the water in serene paths. When I trip, he gets my soul back. I'm never led to my old trash, 'cause he's Jehovah, and know that. And though I stroll through a cold ave, and though I creep through death hood, I know a prose got my whole back. I can relax. Every step's good. He even set up a breakfast, had all the haters on their best foot, and my head is anointed. He detests disappointments, and there's a mess where my coin are kept because he blesses when he on deck. I'm living this for the long stretch in his crib till my day of death. Well, a hip-hop version of Psalm 23 that comes from the hip-hop prayer book, produced by Reverend Tim Holder in the South Bronx in New York City. Father Holder is an Episcopal priest, and he's the rector of Trinity Episcopal Church of Morrisania in the South Bronx in New York City. I think maybe now we have Father Tim on the phone. Can you hear me all right?
Hear you well. Excuse me, everybody, for being a bit late. 6 o'clock Eastern time came very quickly.
Oh, I'm glad you made it.
Hello, and greetings and blessings to everybody from the South Bronx of New York.
Now, all I've done so far, Father Tim, is just read version 2 of Psalm 23 that's in the hip-hop prayer book while we were waiting for the connection to be made with you, but I'm delighted to have you on the phone.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege, a lot of respect to you and your work, and thank you for including us in this important movement, this amazing, amazing movement of hip-hop around the country and the world, of which hip-hop EMAS is playing its own little role from the home of hip-hop and right here on the streets of the South Bronx. It's my joy to be with you.
Now, I suppose the first question that I'm sure you've been asked dozens of times in the last couple of years since you've been doing this is, now, what's a white boy from Tennessee doing in New York City with the hip-hop mass as an Episcopal priest?
Well, God's got a real sense of humor. And I think the beauty and love and wonder of God is present everywhere. The Spirit breaks out all over. I love what the great Bishop of North Carolina, Charles Curry, he's our first African-American lead bishop of a southern diocese, and Bishop Curry, who's one of the honorary chairs of hip-hop EMAS, which is only 2 years old. We've just begun our third year. I started as a street mass here right in the South Bronx with seven successive Friday night street masses in summer of 2004. But it is amazing, as Bishop Curry preaches, when the genuine in one person's heart meets up for real, for real. Hip-hop is for real. Whatever you think about it, it's for real. It is genuine. But when the genuine and the authentic meets up from heart to heart, that's when miracles start to happen. And I have to tell you, after a wonderful career, painful, joyful, all those things that go into real life, in Alabama, I was ordained a priest in December of 1997 in Birmingham, Alabama. And when I left Alabama 5 years ago about now, I thought that after just some amazing things that happened in my parish there that life would be pretty anticlimactic. I arrived in the South Bronx, an urban Anglican priest in traditional Anglo, what we call Catholic mode. That's my training. That's my education in church at Harvard, at Oxford.
Was your divinity school?
That's correct. And studied also the Anglican Catholic movement at Oxford at Keble College. And rich is the tradition of my ethos and my faith in Anglicanism. But I really thought it would be sort of anticlimactic after all of this and, you know, getting closer to 50 and all. And little did I know. I came here drawn by the children and young people of the South Bronx, which are my community here in the South Bronx, not that atypical from Chicago or L.A. or other cities across the country, where we have traveled with Hip Hop EMAS and celebrated this wonderful gift that we're given by God. But when I arrived, these high-rises of 14, 15, 16 stories, two dozen surround my church. And we in the church today look and we wonder and we worry and we pray, what is the future of the church? We wring our hands, where are the people coming from? And not knowing enough, as an outsider, I started noticing all of these little kids everywhere. And as we would wring our hands in these beautiful old Episcopal churches of ours, and other faith denominations as well, I would see all these kids. Now, I am a white man. I was the first openly gay priest, just to, for the plot to thicken a little bit here, or to lighten up, as it were, in God's way of looking at it, the first openly gay person ordained a priest in Alabama. I am a native of Tennessee. I did not speak hip-hop. I did not listen to hip-hop. I don't rap. I don't really dance that much. I don't even dance as well as Al Gore danced at the 2000 Democratic Convention when they made fun of him, bless his heart. And there was just about everything I could think of not to commend me to these children and young people. But I was genuine about who I am and who God made me to be and why I was here. And I found a great genuineness, a great beauty and love, not to romance it too much, not just bleeding heart and all this kind of stuff that some of us who work in the cities like to be, people like to describe us as. I just found a deep beauty and receptivity, hunger, intelligence in kids that, from the South Bronx, beauty, intelligence. And as I started to get to know these kids better and they started to get to know me, and this is one of really the main reasons I came to be a priest and pastor in the South Bronx of New York, the so-called borough of the Salsa y Merengue, but also the borough and the home, universally, of hip-hop. I would begin to hear the bad words, yes, the misogyny, the crime, the violence, but also the freedom, the compassion, the roots of justice, in the rap of Nas, in the rap of Common, ultimately in the words of Kanye West about Jesus walking. I would hear an authenticity and a rhythm and a beat and a rhyme that attracted me as I began to understand it and as I began to get to know my people better, because I was trained, as I said, in the great old Anglo-Catholic mode of walking my parish, of living here next door to the church, of being a part of the community. And was taught at the very base, if we don't have street and altar together, we have neither. And that began to bloom in my heart. That began to flower in these children. And Tupac Shakur's words, we celebrate the 10th anniversary in our cities and across our world of this man having died, having been killed, a complicated, not easy life, Tupac Shakur, in 1996. And I didn't know anything really about Tupac, except maybe him spitting at policemen and being really a criminal to some women. But as I began to discover that he was a poet, and some of my children giving me books of his poetry, and reading about the rose that grew from concrete, talking about my children, indeed, roses, people, creation of great beauty, I was inspired. And the story goes on and on, but that's what as Out Magazine put it recently, that's what just an ordinary, gay, white, Tennessee hip-hop priest is doing here in the South Bronx.
The Village Voice had a nice article about you earlier this year, and the writer said that you were willing to look like a jovial dork. How did that make you feel when you read that description?
That made me feel very, very proud. That made me feel very proud. I'm not just saying that. Now, that, there are other parts of that article that made me feel very proud, too. But I've got to tell you, if we get serious about the gospel, it is, as St. Paul wrote, the wisdom of this world might be one thing, and the wisdom of God might well be another. So different perhaps, quite often I have found, that I would be a holy fool. And if I can share the love that God has given me, if I can communicate that, that I might become a little bit more hip-hop, a little more Gentile, a little more of the law of the Spirit, as St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, then let me do that, God. That's my prayer. Let me do that. Not to forsake tradition, certainly not to forsake the Spirit. Now, there are parts of the tradition that are dead and have been dead for a long, long time. St. Paul spoke to those too, by the way. And I don't think that should keep anybody from church, from the love of God, whether it be eating meat on a Sunday, as Paul spoke to, whether it might be even a question of human sexuality, a big question in our day, and a big question about circumcision in St. Paul's day. We're not dealing really with a lot that's new. We're dealing with human nature. We're trying to celebrate. Hope is our middle name. And we're trying to celebrate. People say, well, what's that E stand for? And hip-hop E-mass. Some people say Episcopal. I sort of like those who say that the way I like to preach it. God's love is for everybody, everywhere, excellently, extravagantly, forever and ever and ever. And if we doubt that, and it's easy to do that sometimes, I can tell you a little bit about that in my life. If we try to exclude others ourselves, and I'm afraid the church does a pretty good job of that sometimes, we then get into trouble. But that's what the gospel's about, and that's what we're shouting out. And as I say, I'm not a rapper. I find myself rhyming a little bit, my goodness. But the message is just a genuine message, not without imperfection, not without a culture. And we are a culture when we're talking hip-hop, and I am hip-hop today because I know the love of God in my life, and I know the love of God in hip-hop. And that turns people for a topsy-turvy sometimes. But that's because I know my children. That's because I know all of us as children. That's because I know the hunger and the reaching out of Tupac himself. And we know God in the heart of a criminal, and we know God in the heart of a Papa T, Tim Holder, a Southerner. I think God is everywhere, and the Spirit is breaking out all over. And that's what Hip Hop EMass has touched. And it's led by the children and young people. And as Curtis Blow, the great king of rap, old school, but great, great, great fellow, as he preaches it, don't get it twisted. God has always existed. And we're preaching that, and we're living it as best we can.
Let's talk a little bit about the language in terms of hip-hop. As I read through the hip-hop prayer book that I got a copy of, mine is an edited proof, but the real book is out now, right? And people can buy it in
bookstores? The real book is out, and it's called the Hip-Hop Prayer Book. Just put that on your web. You can get it at hiphopemass.org. Yeah, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, but Hip Hop Prayer Book, to be joined, I might say. We've just finished up our recordings. I think we're just about all done of our first CD, and the word was hip-hop. So, it is available, and we hope everyone will get a copy of the Hip Hop Prayer Book.
Let's talk a little bit about the language. Now, as a Southerner, you started out as a priest in Birmingham, and you started the first Spanish language services there in an Episcopal church. So you kind of were used to dealing with translation. Do you see the Hip Hop Prayer Book and the Hip Hop Mass as translating in the gospel into a different language?
I think there are elements of that, yes. Number one, it is uncomfortable, I know it was for me, to even say that hip hop is a culture. That had to do more with my ignorance and my lack of, really, it had to do with societal segregation. We become so segregated, we just don't know what's going on. I might live less than a mile away, but I could live down on Battery Park and be on the staff at Trinity Wall Street. And I may or may not know, quite often not know, down on Wall Street, what's going on across the river up in the South Bronx. So segregated we become in society. I am a well-educated man. I'm a person of privilege, and I've been given all kinds of opportunity in my life. And I'm proud of my heritage. Eighth generation Scottish, Irish, from the mountains of northeast Tennessee, ordained in Birmingham, and so forth. It's not to say that anybody is evil or bad. It's just to say we really need to back up, lean back, as Fat Joe says. And we need to look at where we have been and where we're going, because we just don't understand each other, because we don't know where we're coming from and where we're going. Language can become very divisive. So, number one, hip-hop is a culture. It is a cultural influence having to do not just with rap, having to do with dance, having to do with the arts, graffiti, hip-hop iconography, we call it in the Hip-Hop Prayer Book, having to do with how we pray to God, how we do our hip-hop, as one rapper describes it, and more, how our style, how we dress, and so forth. And starting from that basis, the Hip-Hop Prayer Book, I might say, and I'm very proud that our publisher is Church Publishing. These are the people who celebrate and have published for years and years the Book of Common Prayer. The Holy Bible is the number one selling book in the English language. The second biggest selling book in history is the Book of Common Prayer, brought to you by the same people who translated the Bible in English once upon a time back in the early 17th century and before. The Book of Common Prayer is how we pray. It does not substitute for the Bible, but it is how we pray in the Episcopal or Anglican order, how we celebrate holy baptism, holy matrimony, burial, how we celebrate prayers for 9/11 as we did today at the altar here on this vigil of the 5th anniversary of September the 11th. Inspired by the Book of Common Prayer and the Bible, and addressing practical need, not dumbing down, but appreciating, as did our Lord Jesus Christ, all of humanity, all culture, all people, everywhere, everybody, we attempted, through the experience and the leadership that I had learned from my young people here and in Birmingham, who did not know, Father Tim, what's Easter? Father Tim, Christmas? Not many of our kids not even knowing about the Nativity of Jesus Christ. And that's very awkward, to say the least. It's just very surprising. It's sobering, but it's true. It's factual. And as I began to look with other clergy, with scholars, bishops, wonderful people giving their time and scholarship and ability, with rappers, with iconographers, graffiti artists, with our kids again, in a over the course of about a year, as we planned our first hip-hop e-masses, well, how do we communicate Holy Eucharist? Who knows what that term means? How do we communicate when we really mean something by saying something in Old English? Probably not. So can we learn and can we teach? Not just the one way, but both of us, rappers and the tradition, so to speak, by putting together a Holy Eucharist from both traditional language and from slang or hip-hop vernacular. Mm-hmm. And the question was pretty soon answered that yes, we can. And the prayer book is divided into two parts. Number one, our Holy Eucharist, the Lord's Communion, the Lord's Supper, break of dawn prayers, our morning prayers, evening prayers, night prayers, holy hip-hop baptism, holy anointing, 24 of the most beautiful psalms, with one page in the tradition and one page, the next page, hip-hop. And then we have 15 or so Bible stories in the traditional New Revised Standard Version, as we use in our Episcopal Church, and then just to the right of the that page in hip-hop. Not to replace, but to not to substitute, but to enhance, to help explain, to help illumine as if an icon, a window, as Bishop Roskam of New York, Bishop Catherine Roskam, our founding hip-hop bishop. Let this be a window for folks to come into, for folks to view God and know God. And I would rather describe it as that. And yes, Episcopal, the Iglesia Episcopal de la Gracia, it was very instructive taking the prayer book. We have a Libro Commune in the Episcopal Church, and I simply took that off my shelf. Thank goodness I had it. And as refugee Guatemaltecos, Mexicanos were coming into Birmingham by the hundreds, literally, we opened our doors. And a so-called throwaway church was God again. And the unlikely took a white, really not Spanish-speaking. I flunked out of Spanish a couple times. I'm not proud of that. But God gave me the ability to know how to say the Eucharist and teach the creeds and so forth. And in walked the so-called throwaway, we don't want you refugees. And they have not only saved one, but a couple of Episcopal churches and rebuilt them down in Birmingham, Alabama.
Let me reintroduce our guest here on Keeping the Faith this afternoon. We're talking with Reverend Timothy Holder, who's the rector of the Trinity Episcopal Church of Morrisania in the South Bronx of the city of New York, and the founding priest and pastor of the Hip Hop Mass, and the creator of the Hip Hop Prayer Book that we're talking about today. This is a live program, and we are eager to have listeners call in with questions or comments. Anywhere the program is heard, including on the Internet, you may call us toll-free 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL, the call letters of the station here in Champaign-Urbana. If you're a local resident listening to this program, do use one of our local lines, 333-9455, if you have a question or a comment for Father Tim, or as he's known by the young people in his parish, Papa T.
Papa T from the NYC.
So in Champaign-Urbana, call 333-WILL, 333-9455. Anywhere else, 1-800-222-9455. Now, Father Tim, you were active in politics before getting ordained, I guess. You were a deputy finance chair for the Democratic National Committee in Washington.
That's correct.
Senior fundraiser. How does what you're doing with hip-hop affect politics, affect government, affect policies? Is there any connection?
Hip-hop, well, that's a many-sided question. Politics and religion is certainly a topic current today, and I have a lot to say about that, and I can just say from a personal standpoint, though, from another side of that question, my years in politics, standing with candidates and nominees for president and senators and so forth, taught me how to move around and how to organize and how to lead and how to, especially in Democratic Party politics, to not just tolerate but to appreciate and to organize community constituencies.
Well, I guess that's my question. Do you see this hip hop involvement with the church as community organization?
Well, it certainly has to deal with that, because when our children and young people here in the South Bronx chose not to be silenced in the 1970s, when homes were being burned down by the thousands, literally, when great highways were being mowing down homes. And these kids were shouting out a little bit of freedom and justice. We're talking civil rights. And that comes from a deep spirit within, as Dr. King taught us in this country. Politics is not just some occasional, and I think the Democratic Party and others are learning a lot more about this in recent years. It's not just sort of some happenstance thing that I would vote this way or that way. It has to deal with a very deep place in our spirit, in our hearts, that we want war to cease and that we want to teach peace and not war, and that we want, especially here on the vigil and the evening before September the 11th, we want to, yes, commemorate and love the thousands that we lost, the 2,500 from the Twin Towers. But we also want to love our enemy, and we want to speak and believe in those terms, and we want to know how our brothers and sisters, whether it's Palestine, Jerusalem, Israel, Sudan, Iraq, Shiite, Muslim, even Hezbollah, we need to be about the communication of how these folks feel as well. And there will not be peace of any sort until we can better understand that. And I find great strength. I find great direction, sustenance, but also great strength in the message of the children of hip-hop. Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls and the others in the 1990s were standing up, writing poetry, deep, beautiful poetry that's made me a better human being, a better priest, about children's unanswered cries. When they were standing up for children and young people in the Reagan era, just after, when L.A. was being burned down and Rodney King was being beaten to almost to death, there weren't a lot of people speaking up for our children and young people. And as one of the fathers, hip-hop fathers out in L.A. said, when Kawase Mfume, the distinguished and able former head of the NAACP, flew into NAACP, "Don't you come out here," the hip-hop father said, "don't come out here trying to take all the limelight and the media and everything when you haven't been out here." Now, former Congressman Mfume is a very fine leader and so forth, but I think that the brother there was speaking to American society. Where have we been since the days of Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy and others who spoke up and gave their lives even for our children and young people? What have we been doing? And at least Tupac, at least Biggie and the others had the courage, awkwardly, yes, in some cases, but at least they had the courage and the art and the ability. And this is why in his beautiful writing, powerful writing, Professor Michael Eric Dyson, a great proponent of hip-hop politically, religiously, spiritually, these calls Tupac, an urban saint, he spoke up for our children. Professor calls hip-hop the new civil rights. So we're dealing with something political here, but we're dealing again, and all my good brother and sister Democrats and Republicans, yes, politics is important, but it comes from a deeper place within that we want people to have decent education, clothing. And in my community, for example, I would learn after a hostage situation here that involved myself and my church, 7 out of 10 of our young boys to men are incarcerated one or more times before the age of 40. Tonight we'll be watching, I will be watching the fourth season of the really acclaimed and beautiful, powerful program Wire on HBO. I'm putting in an ad there, I guess. But I was reading about Wire the other night. Some 30% and higher in some of our cities forget mothers and the fathers. We have children raising children in our cities today. We talk about thugs. We talk about the violence in hip-hop. Yes, hip-hop has its problems. But I want to know who's going to stand up and speak. I want to know who's going to have the courage and the ability, the sophistication, the courage to stand up and speak for our children and young people, whether you want to call them thug or whatever else. We have got some overwhelming problems in society today. And I don't hear a lot of the I don't see a lot of our leaders, church, politics, business, there are exceptions, but I don't see a lot really sacrificing for our children and young people, and that's a shame. And at least hip-hop, in its best form and true form, in its form as it was founded on my streets in the 1970s, had the gumption and the courage, and I think the gift from God to stand up and speak.
We have a caller wanting to talk with you, Father Tim.
Okay.
Let me interrupt just to bring in line number one. We are about halfway through our Keeping the Faith program here on WILL AM 580, a radio service of the College of Communications of the University of Illinois. Let's go to line number one. You're on Keeping the Faith.
Yes. Hi. Being a mom, I'm almost 71 years old. There was no playboys or play games around at the time of when I grew up or when I raised kids. But now I have noticed that my grandkids are absolutely addicted to their Game Boys, and I don't know exactly how to reach them. It sounds like your program means to stimulate and illuminate and explain and appeal. And I love all that stuff, but I wonder if we can distract them long enough from their Game Boys. And I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thanks.
There are a lot of pressures on young people. How successful has the hip-hop mass has been in terms of attracting those young folks from their Game Boys and other distractions? Oops. It looks like we've lost our guest via phone. We'll try to get him back. In the meantime, let me tell listeners what's coming up here on Keeping the Faith in the weeks ahead. Next week, we'll be talking with Reverend Ignacio Costuera, who is a United Methodist chaplain for the National Planned Parenthood. On September 24th, Elihu Smith will be our guest from the Zen Buddhist tradition. On October 1st, we'll be talking with the director of A Woman's Place. On October 8th, we'll be talking with a couple via phone from Australia, Rich and Maria McGuire, about nonviolent communication. That's here on Keeping the Faith, October 8th. And then October 15, our guests will be Carol Ammons and Brian Doliner talking about racial issues, particularly as they affect the criminal justice system. Those are some of the programs coming up on Keeping the Faith in the weeks ahead. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these programs. Keeping the Faith is supported in part by the University YMCA at the University of Illinois, where for 133 years on this campus, the Y has been helping develop student leaders by providing opportunities for social action and community service. Some of the programs coming up at the Y this week: September 12, Know Your University, our Tuesday noon lecture series begins with the topic Labor and Learning, the graduate employees at the university. Their organization is negotiating its second contract, and so the GEO will be telling about their perspective on that. That's this Tuesday at the Y, a free lecture about labor and learning graduate employees at the University of Illinois. That's September 12th, this Tuesday, at University Y, 1001 South Wright Street. Easily available by bus particularly, although around noon there's often parking spaces that open up around Wright and Chalmers. Our Friday Forum lecture series began last Friday with a wonderful talk by Robbie Cox, former president of the Sierra Club and professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Talked about global warming. This coming Friday, September 15 at noon, Bill Sullivan, who's the director of the Environmental Council and a professor here at the university, will be talking about energy sustainability on this campus. And we'll give an update on where things are. That's this Friday, September 15. If you'd like to order lunch at the Y to hear either of these lectures, do give us a call, 337-1500, within area code 217. If you'd like to come to that and have a lunch reserved for you, very good Thai food at the Y. So that's coming up this Tuesday and Friday, those lectures. Remember also the various classes at the Y with Communiversity. Everything from dance and cooking and photography and martial arts and yoga and meditation, and religion and spirituality, 10 poems to set you free, for example. Go to our website, universityymca.org, and you can see all those classes that are starting up this fall. They're non-credit courses, very inexpensive, taught by people who are very enthusiastic about their subject matter. Well, I think we have our guest back on the phone. Tim, are you there again?
I am here. Please forgive me once again, but I'm back. We were cut off.
I'm sorry. I'm glad you're back.
I wonder
if you have in front of you, by chance, a copy of the Hip Hop Prayer Book.
You know, I just sold my last copy yesterday, but I know the book pretty well.
Now, let me ask you a question.
And I do want to appreciate the sister's question there a few moments ago.
Did you want to respond to that?
I would like to.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Sure, please do.
Because it's a very important question. And the question for our listeners was about how to, I think, to appeal and to communicate effectively with our children and young people. Yes, hip-hop is all over the place, and I think that's not going to go away anytime soon, nor would I hope that it would. But let me say this, as a priest and as a teacher who deals with a lot of children, we're about the business of transforming the souls, and children have very deep and beautiful souls that we appreciate and teach and guide as adults. And there's certain rules, there's certain disciplines. I love from 2 Timothy where the early Christian community is being taught by those who succeeded St. Paul, saying that we are not born of a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and self-discipline. We must be disciplined in the church and in society. We will not stand. We will not stand for anything having to do with bad language in any form. We will not stand for anything having to do with misogyny or hatred against women or anybody else.
And what about homophobia?
For homophobia, for violence, for crime. That's precisely why we are standing up. We will, unlike some other traditions already in hip-hop, we recognize, and I think intelligently so, the power of secular hip-hop. Let me tell you a story quickly. It was the Easter of 2005, a year and a half ago, and I got really tired of some of my literally 6, 7, 8-year-olds on the streets who greet me, who know me, who trust me, who love the church and who love Jesus Christ and know that they're loved. A child will know that, I think, almost more quickly than anybody, and they know that. And they would come up to me, "Papa T, Papa T," and they would be singing 50 Cent. The only problem was they were singing Lollipop, rapping Lollipop. Most of the folks in church, if I were to take a poll today, well, that would have been a year and a half ago, and I keep up with the top 10 on MTV and XXL and so forth. The grocery clerk count is, this magazine's for you? Yes, I want to know what our children are attuned to and what's going on. Well, they would sing this rap, this Lollipop. And if the listenership today were to be polled, how many would know what that worldwide selling, many, many millions of dollars in Mr. 50 Cent's pocket and to Sony Records, I think it was? Well, it's about oral sex. We don't even like to say oral sex in church. However, little girls by the name of Crystal and Joanne, little boys by the name of Dante and Fabian, they were out singing and rapping. I said, no, I don't want to hear that. But let's not end there. Let's do as did Martin Luther, going into the beer halls of his day, developing our hymnology, which we call high and holy today, as it is. Let's do as the great Celtic saints in the 9th and 10th centuries on the highways and byways and take some of the folk tunes, which were not the great songs of royalty in that day. Let us be smart. We're not called to be stupid or ignorant in the church. I'm afraid we act like that sometimes. But let us take the loop of Mr. 50 Cent and let us put a new rap and a new tune and a new life upon it, which our MC, D.O., Defy the Odds, True Freestyle King, so-called, but no less than XXL, and what was the Easter rap to a 50 Cent loop, a refrain, a melody? Alleluia, alleluia, Christ is back, Christ is back, alleluia, alleluia. And do you know what the little children in my neighborhood were doing over the next 2 weeks? Little Crystal, Joanne, I remember so well, Papa T, Papa T, and they would be doing their rap with the most beautiful rhythm in the world. Alleluia, alleluia, Christ is back, Christ is back, alleluia, alleluia. Now, that's just a simple teaching, but it's the kinds of things we can do if we lead by example, if we are intelligent and if we engage and if we really believe that the altar and street are one, not segregated.
We're talking with the Reverend Timothy Holder, who's rector of Trinity Episcopal Church in the South Bronx in New York, by phone today about the Hip Hop Prayer Book and the new CD, which will be out very soon, and The Word Was Hip Hop.
That's right.
You can find information about both of these at a website that Hip Hop EMass has, how to order
HipHopEMass.org, and also Church Publishing, publisher of the Book of Common Prayer and the hymnal and the Hip Hop Prayer Book and our CD and The Word Was Hip Hop.
And if listeners would like to ask a question or make a comment, do give us a call. 1-800-222-9455 is the toll-free number anywhere the program is heard, including on the Internet. If you're listening at WILL.UIUC.edu, and this program will be archived there in a week or two. You can hear this again if you missed the first part. Just go to AM 580 and then Keeping the Faith. Father Tim, I'm since you don't have a copy of your book and I do, let me read just a little bit from the part of the Hip Hop Prayer Book that deals with Scripture in hip hop vernacular from John chapter 1. The traditional reading is, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, He was in the beginning with God, all things came into being through Him, and without Him was not anything. Was not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not overcome it. Now, in translation, or in hip-hop, you and the 100 or so rappers who helped create this came up with this. Couldn't express the feeling I was looking for the words. My man on the block came up and said, "Word," tossing and turning like I couldn't sleep. And when I woke up, looked up to see, working so hard, trying to live my dreams. Martin Luther King said he had a dream. All had to do was think it, because if I speak it, I can be it and live all my dreams. The Word was flesh and dwelt in the hood. And when the sun rose, it was all understood. I was looking all over, couldn't find a clue till I realized it's in me, it's in you. Said I was looking all over, searching for the truth till I realized it's in me, it's in you. Tell us how that came to be.
Well, that is the product of some wonderful, as I like to prefer to call it, oven translation, but illumination and storytelling and explanation of the great logos, the great prologue of John, the Gospel of John, with its deep roots in Greek philosophy, what we celebrate as the incarnation, the birth of Christ, God coming into the world, that He might be identified with humanity as divine, and God and man and humanity in one, the incarnation, divine into actual human flesh. It is a great mystery, and certainly in the Gospel of John, it is high mystery. It's high beauty. We chant that at Hip Hop Mass with a beautiful backbeat. We call it our hip hop chant, and I understand it's playing on radio stations in Birmingham and Charlotte. They're so taken with it, just to communicate John 1:1-14. On the surface, when you hear and the word was hip hop and so, well, that's cute, and that, well, it's more than cute. Oh, that's good for a show. Well, it's more than a show. It is that, and we can find God in the show. God in me and God in you. That's what the incarnation is all about. God came, God first created us, and then came as Jesus Christ to be in you and to be in me, all humanity. And that is a teaching that it is high philosophy, and it is somewhat difficult to grasp. I would be very surprised. I have adults from time to time saying, well, these children, they need catechism, or they need, yes, we do, terribly. Or they need, yes, we do, we need Sunday school. Because they don't even understand this or that. I would like for an adult, whoever educated, however wise, however old, to explain to me the incarnation. I would like for someone to explain to me a God that would love us so much that he would give his only son to die for us and to be resurrected. The unity, the incarnation, the power of Jesus' love, I think is very beautifully described in that little rap. And as for the words and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was hip-hop, that's very offensive to some people to hear even that. And the Word was God. It don't quit and it don't stop. And before we are to just sort of put that over to the side as something sideshow or hip-hop, and that doesn't count, and that's not my Bible. That's not my translation. Well, first of all, we don't own it. Secondly, I have to remind people, sometimes myself, secondly, yes, God created the Word, and the Word was hip-hop. And Galatians 3:28, so radical and so amazing and overpowering and indescribable, is the vernacular and the love of God that God, St. Paul teaches, that God's love is beyond Jew, Gentile, slave, free, even beyond male and female. God in Acts 1-12, talking about all nations, all tribes, all peoples, all vernaculars, everywhere beyond our knowing, are susceptible and drawn to this love of God. So yes, the love of God is hip-hop, it is Spanish, it's French, it's Creole, it's languages we've never even heard of, and we'll never hear of. So this is not an attempt to, as some in hip-hop would accuse the church of, just trying to appeal to the hip-hop generations in order to grow, and in some cases save a dying institution of some of our churches as they are. It's much more than that. Again, I think what we're appealing to, what we're celebrating, is, as Bishop Curry said, the genuine in the hearts of the people. And that's what Jesus did, whether it was the woman at the well. Jesus didn't go about saying, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to talk to you or be with you unless you change the way you talk. He didn't even say the way you dress or anything like that. And we need to look very, very carefully at why we believe, how we believe. And I think if we look at that incarnation of John, we're given a wonderful base. That's the first scripture, by the way, that we began with. And so profound was the reaction. I have seen the face of children and adults all the way up into their 40s and 50s, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt in the hood, just smile and beam. Not because it's something, you know, sort of flavorful or whatever. Oh, my goodness. Well, God loves me because I even speak that way. You're right.
We have another call for our guest, Tim Holder, who is the Episcopal priest at Trinity Episcopal Church in the South Bronx, talking about the hip-hop prayer book. You're on Keeping the Faith. Line number one. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks
Hello.
For the show, because, you know, this is a topic that I just don't know very much about, and I hope my question doesn't reveal my ignorance about it, but I was happy to hear you talk about, you know, misogyny is not being tolerated, and I guess I just wondered if there are any, in the mainstream, female hip-hop artists that are positive role models for young women, and how you are actually reaching out to young women in particular. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your question.
Appreciate the call.
I am a proud Episcopalian. I love my faith tradition, and there are others, certainly, that celebrate the full personhood of women. Number one, at the base of things, let me say again, because we got to repeat it and repeat it, because we mean it, and that is this: no toleration of anything misogynistic, and no toleration of any demeaning of a woman. The first hip-hop mass on October 3rd, it was our weekly mass, Curtis Blow, the king of rap, and the great hip-hop bishop, Catherine Roskam, a woman. We have women bishops in the Episcopal Church. In fact, we have a woman who's becoming the new lead bishop, the presiding bishop, and a bishop from Africa, Bishop Tenga of southern Malawi. We were all at the door, and we were getting ready to press in for October 3rd, 2004. It was a beautiful moment. Some of the young girls, teenagers and younger, in the congregation, they looked at this woman in this pointed hat with all of this colorful dress and so forth, and they knew that this person was very important because she was right in the procession and holding a big staff, and talk about bling. I mean, you know, we Episcopalians know our bling. She had some beautiful bling on that night. but they were afraid to ask me anything until afterwards. They said, well, who was that? I said, well, that's a priest. She's a bishop. A bishop? You mean women can do that in your church? I says, women can do that in the Episcopal Church and in hip-hop church, because God means for us to do as much as our heart calls us to be and to do. And we have some of our lead rappers. We have a wonderful woman by the name of Janine Otis, who's one of the founders, actually was doing hip-hop in her church at St. Mark's in the Bowery before I even knew what it was. And Janine is our MC. She's at the table quite frequently with me. And for our young women and, I might say, our young men, to see that we're dealing here with the reality that women are full human beings, and that is in the home, that is on the street, that is in the cathedral, that is in the boardroom, attorneys, doctors, and we teach that very actively. And I would have to say I do spend a good amount of my time in what we call in the arts business, I've learned A&R. And when we're out looking for rappers and so forth, I have a very keen eye to finding women. And there's some great women here in the South Bronx and all around the country who rap. And it's a great joy for me. And we always, just about always, have a woman rapper along with our men. We do not subscribe to any theory, be it African-American, be it Anglo or whatever, reggaeton. We do not ascribe to the theory that this is a male-dominated art. Quite the contrary. Again, the Spirit's breaking out all over, and the Spirit does not know male or female. And we Episcopalians and hip-hop folk recognize that.
You're mentioning earlier of referring to Biggie and Tupac. Does bring up the whole issue of violence, however, and I noticed that opposite the page in the hip-hop prayer book about holy baptism, you have a non-violent pledge. And let me just read a couple things from this. I hereby pledge myself, my person, my body to nonviolence, peace, and justice for all people everywhere. Therefore, I'll keep the following commandments. Meditate daily on the teaching and life of Jesus. Remember always that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory. Walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love, and so on. Tell us why that's in there.
That's in there because we are in society, not just in hip-hop. We are in the South Bronx, and throughout so much of society in the world today, people of violence. We sit here knowing about 9/11. We sit here and while war rages across so much of the world, where we are conducting war in Iraq, where the situation in the Middle East continues to rage. And what will we do? Well, what we will do is stand as tall as we can, as we were taught by Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, for peace and for nonviolence. Well, how are you going to do that, Father Tim, with all these guns out here? And I had a young man in my neighborhood, a boy, a teenager, just get killed the other day, two down on Tenton Avenue the other day. And this is not unique to the South Bronx. And just in case we and our...
We had a student die at this university of a heroin overdose last week.
I'm so sorry. We have violence of all kinds that weighs against us. And until we wage peace, and I mean wage peace with money, with know-how, with the really great America under God, my America under God has to do with America of peace waging, of addressing poverty of all people, of much more than we're seeing. And I'm not just talking George Bush. I'm talking the Senate and the House down to the city council. We need leaders who are going to stand up for our people, and that's not happening right now. I'm not a politician today. I'm a preacher. I'm a priest, and my people are the most important thing to me in the world, and we seem to know very little about human dignity, whether it is Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans, Alabama, Mississippi, or whether it is the killing fields of Sudan or in Iraq where we wage a murderous war. And we wonder why 9/11 happened. It's because of the violence. So if we can, in our own little neighborhood in Morsania, in these four or five blocks, teach some of our children that peace is real, that the way of nonviolence is real, and that folks like Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King, they gave their lives that we might know peace better, and that Jesus Christ, once upon a time, gave his life forgiving his enemy, that we might be able to wage peace. If we really begin to teach that with earnestness, and let me go back to authenticity and genuineness, our children will get the message. But if we're going to wage war and we're going to kill, our children are going to get that message too. Yes, there's a lot of violence in hip-hop. I don't condone that. I preach against it. I live against it. I hope that our congregation, Hip-Hop EMAS, I know is a model against it. But if what we're going to teach as a society is violence, hip-hop is going to be nothing but a reflection of that, and we must stand against that. Is that so hard to understand? So that pledge, by the way, did not originate with us. That's the Southern Christian Leadership Conference pledge in places like Birmingham, Alabama, and Montgomery, Alabama, and Atlanta, Georgia, and Selma, Alabama, and Mississippi, and Chicago, and New York, when Dr. King and the leaders of the civil rights movement in this country in the 1950s and 1960s stood up to say, before you go out here and point your fingers at all the oppressors, you make sure that you've confessed your sins and your heart's clean so you can go out and preach some peace.
We're done.
Church,
we're done.
Are we preaching peace? I want to know, and I don't think we are too sufficiently.
Father Tim, we're down to about our last minute. Let me just
all right, now it passes quickly.
It does indeed. Let me ask a difficult question, but see what you can do with it in 60 seconds. Did you have a harder time as an openly gay priest with the church or with hip-hop folks?
With the church.
Why?
And to expound on that, well, we have traditions in the church. I have to tell you, my eyes were open when I came into hip-hop, and I talked with my bishops and all, can't we find someone better to do this? Can we not find a good, straight, young, good-looking African-American priest with children and all this kind of good stuff? God didn't want it that way. God does have a sense of humor. I know a lot more about integrity. I thank God for being created as a gay man, because the integrity of that and the beauty of who I am, if I may say so, and my other gay and lesbian brothers and sisters around the world, we learn a lot about integrity at an early age. We learn a lot about fear. And if we can take that fear and turn around, we learn a lot about love. And that's what I'm preaching, and I'm preaching it as a genuine article myself, because I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm accepted. I know that I belong. And I know that if I'm not honest, these children are going to know it. And there's so much about society and the church as part of society that just ain't honest. And I've got to thank God today for hip-hop, because hip-hop is about the genuine article. And in all of its awkwardness, hip-hop's in your face. And we want to know who's going to speak for the children and young people. Who's going to speak for the marginalized? These are not just the questions of hip-hop. These are the questions of the great faith traditions.
And it's certainly
the questions of Jesus Christ.
That's a fine place to stop. I want to thank our guest.
Thank you.
Reverend Timothy Holder, rector of...
Let's bless you all.
Thank you. Rector of Trinity Episcopal Church. Author, along with several other people, of the Hip-Hop Prayer Book, hiphopemass.com for information. Thank you for listening.
Hiphopemass.org.
I'm sorry.
Y'all come see us in the South Bronx, USA.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Steve Shoemaker. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants. WILL programming is funded in part by a grant from TK Service Center, 806 Perkins Road in Urbana, offering automotive repair on cars and trucks by ASE-certified technicians. In business since 1984, they perform computerized engine diagnostics, alignments, brake, suspension, preventative maintenance, and other repairs. A shuttle service for customers is also available, 344-0800 or on the web at tkservicecenter.com.
I'm Ted Koppel. After 9/11, what is the price of security?
I don't think we're abrogating the Constitution, but we certainly give up some liberties. You give up some liberties just in a normal civil society.
Make the case that you need to do this and put it in a law after public debate. Don't just assert the power.
It's a complicated issue. A special report from the Discovery Channel and NPR News.
Tonight from 8 to 10 on WILL Urbana. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low in the lower 60s with east winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely with the high in the mid-70s and east winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms likely with the low in the lower 60s and north winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.